This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Let's go! 103, 1, 2, 3.
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep hands on 2, 1, 2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Significance of the coming game. What do you think about maybe playing in some cold in Green Bay?
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to kill narratives, so let's go. Bring it on.
Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
Thank you, Woody. Yeah, Tua knows what this is all about, man. He's heard it for 2 years. And here we go. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast, joins us right now. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for being with us, bud. How you doing?
Victory Monday always feels great, Joe. How you doing?
It doesn't matter who you're playing. It really doesn't. And that was an ass-whooping yesterday. It was good to see on both sides of the football, minus running game not being where it needs, maybe going forward against games like this. And I want to start with that. Besides everything that looked great yesterday, are we worried going forward with the running game, especially in the cold weather, where you probably need to do it a little bit more and a little better?
Yeah, I think it's fair to kind of look at what the rushing production's been and ask some questions. Although, to be fair, Alec Ingold played 9 snaps offensively against the Patriots. I know he was healthy after missing the last 2 games. Still trying to figure out how much of the running game regression is Alec Ingold's absence versus Austin Jackson's. I don't think there's any doubt. Kendall Lamb to Austin Jackson. Kendall is really solid in pass protection, but not the same run blocker that Austin is. It's what he really brings to the table. So I was hoping this game, getting Alec healthy, would give you a little bit more clarity, but he only played 9 snaps coming back from the calf injury that cost him the last 2 weeks. So I'm like, still working on filtering out how big of a problem it is going to be.
Well, let's talk about Jonnu Smith. We talked before the season started, who's going to be that third receiver, and we need a wide receiver, we need more production out tight end. We got the same guy. We weren't sure it was going to work out this way, but boy, I'll tell you what, Tua's getting really comfortable throwing to Jonnu Smith. He ain't taking a back seat to too many weapons on this team right now, the way he's being used. Have you been surprised in the last few weeks that part of the turnaround in 29 points per game, a big part of it is him?
I'm not surprised that they successfully pushed that button. They've been seeming like they've been trying to fill that role for, 3 years now in the offense. Am I surprised at the degree of volume in which Jonnu's getting some balls? Yeah, he's had 11 targets. He had more targets than anybody else in the passing game yesterday. So that much volume, I think, is the surprising piece. But we've seen Tua really lock in with chemistry with receivers before, and when that happens, and if you get free access, and Jonnu's not running a lot of stuff down the field, he's running a lot of stuff where if they're going to give you underneath because they're protecting from vertical lift with your speed receivers, that's Mike McDaniel told us that when they added Jonnu Smith in the offseason. You know, they asked him about what he could potentially bring to the table, and he said something along the lines of, when you catch drop 7 or drop 8 coverage and everybody's playing deep, getting a tight end, a bigger-bodied player that's capable of putting the ball in his hands and making some things happen is a counterpunch that we're looking to add. And you're seeing that manifested here and now, and it's nice to see that part of the plan from this offseason is another one that seems like it's been a rousing success.
Tua Tagovailoa, another really good game in this. I hate to call it. I've been saying new offense, new style offense that they put in here recently. And, boy, 29 of 40. He looks like last couple weeks playing some of his best football of his career. Would you go that far? I know it was a different game in the past where he's had some big games down the field. But, boy, so accurate and so comfortable. Pass protection has been great, obviously a part of it, but his decision-making.
Yeah, I think this is the best month stretch of his career.
Really?
In my opinion, as far as just the consistency of it.
Yeah.
He's had the four, five, six touchdown games, right? He had the big fourth quarter against Baltimore and all the yards and all that. But just the week-to-week consistency going back to – really, Arizona. You know, the Buffalo game where you go 25 of 28 is the one from an all-time efficiency standpoint. Like, it's right up there. But I think these 5 weeks, the consistency and the confidence in which he's doing things, and even against New England, like, getting to the top of his drop and understanding that he has to get a little bit more time, and, like, the lack of hesitancy to not just hitch, but hitch and get up into the pocket and then find a throwing window. Like, all of those little nuances, I feel like, are really firing on all cylinders right now, and you can just tell he's super locked in. And I would not bat an eye if somebody said, yeah, this is the best month of Tua's yeah. career that he's played so far.
That's when, at the end of the game, walking out, first thing, and, you know, I was going, wow, Tua is just – everybody's wondering what he's going to be like after the 5 weeks off. And – man, he's made it clear to everybody, and he's showing it like, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm over it, and hopefully it doesn't happen again. Chop Robinson yesterday. Wow, bull rushing, speed rushes before they tried to use tight ends to chip a little bit. They didn't do a very good job, and the poor tackle had no chance. What'd you think of Chop Robinson yesterday?
Yeah, he's really getting the angles of it down. I think he's been really complimentary this three-week stretch with three straight games with a sack, of taking the first step explosiveness and taking the right angle out of his first two steps out of the blocks based on the depth of the tackle and whether it's shotgun or under center. And it just feels like he's trimming a lot of the fat off of the rushes that were leaving him in positions to be disruptive but not finish plays. And that when you're able to do that, and then you're able to play with power off of that the way that he did against the Patriots right tackle yesterday. It's not a surprise that we're just living in the backfield. Now, as far as the sustainability of that, I think about who the Rams had without Rob Havenstein and who the Patriots had. You know, that's probably not going to be their long-term starting right tackle.
No, those two guys were bad on the outside yesterday, yes.
Really interested in the next big test that he has. And, you know, I don't know necessarily that it's Zach Tom's a good tackle for the Packers. So this will be a great litmus test as far as the sustainability of Chop and the growth that he's shown. So I'm excited to see what Thursday looks like.
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of that, first guys I thought of, Calais Campbell, Zach Sealer, Benito Jones, because they're going to want to, in that cold weather, they're going to try to get physical like they did last night, right? Doesn't that come to your mind right off the bat, and then try to hit some big plays down the field?
Yeah, I think the structure of those guys, if the Packers go heavy, I think they'll be pretty well suited to at least clog that up a little bit. Now, what the other linebacker spot looks like, is Tyrell Dotson going to end up being the starter is, you know, Walker was ruled out with the hamstring. What does that injury look like? It's a short week. I'd assume you see Tyrell Dotson. Now, he's a thumper that can get downhill, but, like, it's a new player playing behind a new front. So you're kind of glad he got at least a half a game's worth of reps to kind of get his feet wet. But that's the bigger thing for me as far as if the Packers are going to pound the rock with Josh Jacobs, who's a back who has explosiveness and can break those big runs with good contact balance because he's built super low to the ground. That, for me, is a little bit more the question I have with the run game versus is Sealer, Jones, Hand, and Campbell capable physically of, you know, creating stalemates at the line of scrimmage. I think they'll do their part in that just fine.
Kyle, I don't want to read into stuff too much. The other story that's been around now for the last couple of days and popped up after the game, and Mike answered it about trading at the trade deadline, Calais Campbell.
Yeah.
To the Ravens for a fifth-round pick. I know there's some probably stuff that we don't know, and they're probably going to say, no, that's not exactly what happened. But Mike didn't exactly kill the whole story yesterday when he said, no, there was out there, and I jumped up and down and said, damn it, we're not getting rid of that guy. He's too important to my team, and we can still win. It just kind of made Chris look bad. How'd you read into it? That was, for me, like, was Chris trying at 2-6? He said, I've seen enough, or – how'd you read in the whole thing?
Well, I think I don't know that it's any different necessarily than when we're doing a radio call the week before the trade deadline and we're asking, hey, who are some players that might be tradable and what could you possibly get for them? And a team called with an offer. And Mike said that too in the post-game press conference yesterday. He said, you know, Chris has to weigh out the responsibility
right. That's
of true. What's important for the team in the short term and the long term simultaneously. And I thought the point that Mike made about Calais and the value that he had to the locker room was a great one, because I think it's absolutely important. I don't think it's a coincidence that every time you see a pregame or a postgame video that the team puts out, Calais Campbell's the guy in the middle of the scrum
right.
hyping the guys up.
One guy. So, that's right.
Yep. So I think Mike's awareness of being in and around the locker room probably provided the necessary context for what they chose to bet on, was that they were capable of stringing wins together, and we're seeing that come to fruition. Now, if that hadn't happened and you pass on that opportunity, maybe we're looking at this with the story comes out and we're critical the other way. So I don't know that it's one of those things that I got too up in arms about, and we've kind of known that yeah. they were going to be collaborative, and we felt that sometimes to a fault. But this is one of the ones where I think the collaboration between the two sides and all the ideas was one that came out on the good side net for the Dolphins.
Yeah. I just thought maybe, hey, you downplay it. Hey, we got a game coming up. We don't, you know, we're not, hey, we love having Calais. Sure, everybody, there's people are calling about him. We had people calling about a lot of guys. But, no. We believed in this team the whole way. I just don't know you have to go into, you know, telling your GM, oh, hell no, you're not getting rid of this guy. That ain't happening. So I don't know. I just it's too bad yesterday, because it was such a complete win with everything, minus the Tua out of the game, and then, hey, Tua, get back in. That was
– yeah.
And then he got sacked, and like, oh, my God, throw it away. I was screaming, throw it away. Don't get hit, man. What'd you think of that, the craziness of putting him back in, and he actually got sacked?
Yeah, it's I certainly hope when Tyler Huntley's ready to come back that he gets an opportunity to be the QB2, and there's a former starting quarterback that you might be able to attract into a good system with good weapons that maybe might be looking to revive his career. It's been reported, I believe Jordan Schultz reported, the Dolphins would be amongst the teams that would be interested potentially in Daniel Jones.
I hope so.
And here's where I'm at with that one. Because I don't think there's any appeal of Skylar Thompson being out for you at quarterback. Now, Daniel Jones, not a very good starter, but you wouldn't be bringing him in to be that. And if we're going to be a team that has to invest significantly in a backup quarterback
yeah.
this offseason to be the backup, I would love to have a chance to get a guy who's used to be a starter, who's looking to revive his career, that you can get like some proof of concept with, get him in the building, let him learn the offense,
yeah.
get a feel for him,
right.
instead of just blindly like they did with Mike White, right? Like they blindly gave Mike White the 2-year contract, and it never really had an appeal. Well, I'd love to see a veteran, if you have this opportunity right now, bring him in, let him finish the season, see how he picks up and handles and processes the offense, see how he is in the locker room, and then if you like it, then that can be a player that you can try to pursue getting that backup quarterback contract locked in for.
First thing, you're not the only one. Everybody's called and said, what about this Daniel Jones? I'm just thinking, hey, man, you want to rehabilitate. The money's got to be decent. I understand you don't want to come on the cheap, but Mike and that coaching staff be a great place for him to get healthy with a lot of weapons if you do have to play. And if not, hey, Sam Darnold didn't play a lot for the 49ers and got to go. So I'm with you, and hopefully we're thinking the same thing, that if you're not going to draft a guy high or you don't like this quarterback draft, and Kyle, you know a lot more about it than I do, but I got no problem. Daniel Jones, perfect guy, and we still don't know if he can play. I'm not going off what the Giants just did on whether he can play or not.
Right.
Are you in that same boat, right?
Yeah, it's...
I'm not saying he was great. He had his own... You know, he said, hey, man, this is on me, too.
Yeah, the offensive system never seemed like it really clicked with Daniel, but this is an offensive system that you see so many branches of and variations of across the league. It's not by coincidence. And, you know, for the backup quarterback situation for Miami, I'd love to see them overhaul the entire room behind Tua, and that probably means a vet, and that probably means a draft pick. But this draft class at quarterback, guys are just falling off the pace. There's probably going to be two guys in the first round, maybe three guys in the first round, and after that, like, you're not looking at a lot of attractive day two options. So maybe you're drafting a guy early on day three, but that would be irresponsible to be the backup by himself. So you're going to need a vet anyway. So it's an unfortunate reality of the Dolphins quarterback situation with the durability questions that Tua has and this class of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But I think they've probably got to overhaul that. The good news is we've seen this team the past 2 years take Achilles heel positions and completely revamp it. Last year was the edge group, and the year before that was corner. I think backup quarterback and the depth of the quarterback room is definitely going to be on that list this year for the team.
Yeah. That's good stuff, man. Man, I wish we had about another 2.5 hours. I might have to call you tonight just to go over, talk about some of this stuff. Anyway, Kyle, thank you, man. I really appreciate you coming on. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
Kyle Crabbs, the host of Locked On Fins podcast. You got to check it out. Man, I'm all over this. Daniel Woody, your thoughts here before we go to break? Daniel Jones is...
Yeah, it's fine. I'd like to do better, but...
Really? There you go.
I mean, so wouldn't you?
So the quarterback draft class is not strong.
I am aware of that, yes.
And then on top of that, I mean, this kind of guy you want, man. He's got a lot of starts. He's been in a really crappy system.
So you think they can rehab him is what you're saying?
If there's anybody can rehab
That's
him,
true.
It's that guy. It's that guy. Hey, right now I want to tell you about my friends at Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've been throwing out some serious numbers in football. Well, I want to throw out some serious around-the-clock air conditioning and plumbing numbers, too. 35 years, 7 days a week, 135 trucks on the road daily to serve you, trained and certified technicians, and the best damn plumbers in the business. Licensed, experienced, and ready to go for any kind of plumbing problems you have. That's what around-the-clock air conditioning and plumbing is all about. Great experience. Great work ethic, working 7 days a week. Understand you have plumbing problems and air conditioning problems on the weekend. We got you. We got people working. We got a box truck filled with all-size Rheem water heaters ready to go. Same-day installation is always the goal. Financing plans to always help you out. Still family-owned and operated after 35 years. We lost Big Daddy Lenny. We'll never forget him. But we got Eric, and Eric's a fireball, man. He's going strong. He gets in there early. He's not as early as me, but he's pretty damn early. I got you, Eric, every day. Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Ready to help you with any kind of plumbing problems and air conditioning problems with a warehouse full of water heaters and air conditioning units. So the next time you have a problem, that's part of our great service to get you one quickly so nobody ever goes without hot water and nobody ever has a hot house. Even though it's nice and cool right now, make sure Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing are on your program. The next time you're looking for a plumber or somebody that knows the air conditioning business, it's all about Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. 1-888-349-6922. Ferreira round the clock.
If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
Bam! It tickles my fancy.
Okay.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not, no, that's not.
Wait.
Yeah, that's true, you do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs to the stars with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a lie about a motor. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side fly. Go take a large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. And cuties can be, you can watch this on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody! Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Hello, Leroy.
Hello. Just watching the Giants giant.
What a week for them.
What a week for them.
What a week for them. That poor John Mara. I mean, he's not poor because he's very rich. But I mean,
not him, but he, wait, under no circumstances, okay, and I believe this to be 100% true,
mm-hmm.
Can the owner have more concerns about what's going on the field than the professionals he's hired? Meaning that they should always be able to respond with why things look the way they are. But when we watch that Hard Knocks or whatever, and the owner says, I really don't want Saquon Barkley to leave and go to a division rival, and the guy's like,
don't worry about it, John. Don't worry about that.
And to watch him just obliviate everybody, it's unbelievable. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking before. The only time Daniel Jones looked good was when Saquon was playing running back.
That's true.
So, like, you not only ruined your offense, but you also ruined your quarterback.
Look how slow these guys look.
That's what I'm saying.
Jesus. If you guys missed it last night, Saquon Barkley, 300 total yards, broke the Eagles record for rushing. I think it would have 255.
255, yeah. You know what? Interesting stat. No running back in the history of the NFL has run for 300 yards.
Really?
I think the record's 295.
Wow. Well, let's get to some headlines, you rascals, which are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory, like the Tucson, the Sonata, and the Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai, and locally, your Miami Dolphins
look
for a beat down on the New England Patriots.
Question.
Yes, sir.
When the game started, they went down on that first drive.
Mm-hmm.
Were you thinking, come on?
A little frustrated. Then the doink happened. I was like, all right.
But you know what's weird about that? Like, and this is with all teams. I have not been able to figure out why the first 10 plays, because a lot of teams script their first 10 plays, why they always seem to work, and then you do nothing the rest of the game. It's a weird thing.
Defer to you on that one, dude. I have no idea.
I don't know. We didn't. I only played. I think Brian Billick was the closest I got to scripting plays. Belichick in Cleveland was more of a situational guy. So we had plays for situations. Everybody was familiar with the plays. So it was almost like we knew the game plan from head to toe because we knew all the situations and the plays we're going to run situationally. So, but that's, you know, I think Andy Reid does it. I think it's the West Coast offense thing. So anybody that's been associated with the West Coast offense, they all script their first 10 to 15 plays. And they look good for a drive.
I think the thing that honestly, like, it was great. The offense looked awesome yesterday. But the thing that had me fired up out of everything yesterday, this Chop Robinson looks like the real mother bleeping deal. He looks like the real bleeping deal.
Havoc.
Wow.
Havoc.
That poor right tackle.
Oh, my goodness.
That dude, I don't know what that's got to feel like.
You know what it's like? It's like sparring.
Oh, right? My God.
When the trainer holds up the pad, 1-1-2, champ, 1-1-2. He was using all of his tools, the bull rush, the up and under, the slap. He had everything going.
Dude, he was a monster. And by the way, that was a fumble, okay? If you stop the guy's arm midair, you don't get to say this.
No.
What was he doing, the Cam Ward up here? Like, get out of here.
Here's why you have to do it that way. Because you don't want to leave it into the hands of the officials. So they have the rule as such. If he has control and that thing starts forward, it's a pass. And you have to do that because you have to have these rules because you don't want the officials standing in a huddle deciding. The rule is the rule. So I'm telling you, live, I'm like, oh, here we go. But then they slow it down and they get to watch it slow down. I will tell you, the coolest play, Zach Sealer.
Oh.
Look, he was sacked. Like, you just give him a little. I tell you what, their quarterback's going to be pretty good.
Drake Mack?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he looks pretty good.
He looks pretty good.
He looks pretty good. I mean, if he makes it to the rest of his career, the poor guy's getting killed. Sealer it on up.
Yeah, that dude's a beast. And people are starting to recognize him, not just here, but around the league. Like, they talk about him all the time.
Dade South says, I saw a whole bunch of tough catches from Waddle Tobin. You want to know something, dude?
Shut up.
And I had him, too.
Answer for your crime, dude.
I said on the pregame show he was due.
I called that game
yesterday, dude.
Answer for your crime.
I'm not answering for my crimes. I love Jalen Waddle.
I believe you. Let me get this straight. This is the only man that I know can trash a player. Then when the player plays well, takes all the credit.
Dude, for takes the play. Credit.
Right.
For
are I you
said,
kidding me?
I said yesterday.
Are
we
you have, kidding me?
I'm telling you
right
now.
I have
receipts. I have receipts. Okay? Anybody who listened to Game Day Uncensored yesterday can tell you. I get on the Hard Rock app because we have Porpoise Props. I look, I'm like, Jalen Waddle's touchdown number is what? It was like 2-1. It's never been that high. Never. Not in his history of a Dolphin. I'm like, that's disrespectful. He's due. And you're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome, dude.
You're welcome.
I made you guys money, okay. Yeah. And I told you that he was due.
Great.
He was awesome. Tough love. And by the way, it wasn't even tough love. I was just asking questions.
Were you? Because
inquiring minds wanted to know. And there he
Jalen
was.
Jalen Waddle's on an 8-month touchdown fast. Jalen Waddle's a bum. Get him off the team already and trade him for Devontae Adams.
Wow.
Jalen Waddle, haven't seen your touchdown dance since before last Christmas.
Which, by the way, he
didn't even do it.
He's retired it.
Apparently.
Or it's on hiatus.
Check this out. The owner didn't.
Nope. He was so excited.
Hey, it's getting a little bit too.
In that moment, he was like, extension, well worth it. Because he was feeling it.
I tell you what, that was as crisp of an offensive performance as you will see. I'm talking
beautiful.
About with the location of passes, with the routes. You didn't have any situations where, you know, they do this thing where I thought you were going to. Everybody was where they were supposed to be. The offensive line held up, you know. Now.
Uh-oh.
Mike McDaniel, are you out of your rabbit-ass mind? You don't take a quarterback out with 13 minutes left to go in the game.
Got a little full of himself.
And did you see as soon as the ball hit the ground, Tua Wick got his mouthpiece in his helmet? Like, come on!
I don't understand why Skylar Thompson? Because is he just the mush right now? Like, he's just out there. How did disaster strike in that fashion in such a bad way?
I don't even know if it was fully his fault.
I don't think it was fully his fault, he was around disaster. And he's just like, all right, get out of here, Skylar.
Totally blaming him because Jalen Wright was running great before that. Now all of a sudden, fumble.
I tell you what,
you got Houdini there with Uno. He's just like throwing the ball. He goes, backwards. Watch this sleight of hand. Like, Tua could be out here playing three card Monty. You're like,
I will say this.
Trick the cameraman.
A lot of poor kicking yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Special teams in general. But what is going on?
Do you think the cameraman eats himself alive when that happens? Like, when he actually gets deked out by the quarterback?
Stupid.
I mean, with the Dolphins, it happens once or twice a game.
He was like, what? I'm like, no. Man.
Oh, no. It's not even him because there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
It's the guy in.
It's the main guy.
The main guy in the studio, in the truck. Who decides what shot to use.
Yeah, but I'd assume that the guy who is your main guy who's like got the pan shot right there, I assume that guy's like your most grizzled veteran of a cameraman. And when he gets deked, he's probably like,
fool me again. A tight end reverse. Are you kidding me?
I tell you what, between Jonnu Smith has been coming on
balling
the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And I think this is what they were kind of expecting. I'm just thinking all the special teams snafus.
Yesterday?
Big extra point.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do an onside kick. Give up a touchdown on an onside kick. I mean, it's ridiculous. It was crazy.
You're talking about the Cowboys game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game, they scored, 41 points in the fourth quarter between the two of them.
Sheesh. Pretty wild. But the game yesterday for the Dolphins, I mean, man, that was fun. It was fun. It was a party.
It was fun.
Killed them.
I really loved the way, the defense, they were all over him. And he made some plays. He's mobile.
Oh, he is mobile.
By the way, pulling away from a bunch of guys when he scrambled.
Fast intangibles?
I mean, he was moving.
No, he was moving for sure.
He was moving because I saw a couple of guys chasing him look like their hammies was going to blow out on the field.
Yeah, the only guy who seemed to be able to catch him was Job Robinson.
And then thing was, at the end of the game, near the end of the game,
mm-hmm.
right? When the two safeties ran into each other, I'm like, "What are we like? Did any like
Tyreek Hill?"
It's funny because on defense,
mm-hmm.
and pay attention to this when you watch a defensive game. Anything that goes behind them, they lose. So you always see those square ends; they always have to go behind the linebacker. Right? You see the crossing route. The crossing route goes in front of the linebacker. Then there's a guy going behind him. Their rules of defense are such that they always lose any defender, any offensive player that goes behind him. So when those two guys ran into each other, they looked forward. They didn't look to see if anybody was behind him. Even though the guy was covering him. Like, you covering him, you go, where did that 89 go? right?
Tyreek Hill tweeted today, up early this morning, thinking about how good Zach Sealer is.
He ain't the only one.
Good.
You ain't the only one.
Monster. We'll take a break. Lots to get to here on the show. We got a lot of things to dive into from a busy, busy weekend. Canes, victorious, Heat, winning overtime. Panthers, what's going on, dude?
Mm.
It's that Panthers tryptophan lull.
You know they hit that rut once a year.
Take a break. Back after this.
What do you think of this statement, though? Channing Crowder, Alejandro Solana, what do you think of this statement to start out today's Victory Monday show? Tua Tagovailoa is a better quarterback than Dan Marino.
See, you always go overboard.
Let me finish, though. You let me finish. You didn't let me finish. You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
Is a statement that may be said one day.
No.
If he wins a Dolphins Super Bowl and puts up the numbers statistically that he's putting up, one day we will say Tua was a better Dolphins quarterback than Dan Marino.
You're talking about 2034?
Yeah, yeah.
Super Bowl under his belt.
Two Super Bowls.
It can't happen. Yes, it can happen.
I mean, I don't think there's ever been a Dolphins quarterback since Dan Marino where that statement was even a possibility ever. And I believe it's a possibility with Tua.
No. Dan doesn't have a Super Bowl, and Dan's a top five quarterback that ever touched a football field. That's why it's not a knock against Tua. That's why I kind of took the time to pause. It's not a knock against Tua. It's the greatness of Dan Marino that I was pausing with. Dan could sling that thing.
But if Tua, I mean, you want to go over his stats over the last five games since he's been back, or even since he's been Dolphins quarterback? Solana, is there a chance that when you're hosting this show, it's you and Jimmy, and probably Jimmy's son is producing?
Jimmy got to start doing some sex.
Let me rephrase Jimbo, that as well. Jimmy's adoptive son is your producer.
Okay.
Now it's more plausible. Mm-hmm. No, honestly, you think it's possible? How old are you, Solana? You're 30?
30.
Is it possible you're hosting this show, you're 50, and you say the greatest Dolphins quarterback is Tua Tagovailoa?
See, I hate how you set this up, because today should be a day to celebrate the Dolphins. To celebrate.
Celebrating Tua maybe being the greatest quarterback that we've ever seen.
Hawk, what are we doing? He hasn't won a playoff game, and the team is below 500, and they've beaten three
Debbie
trash
Downer.
Teams.
Trust me, you're not hosting this show with that attitude 20 years from now.
You see? I mean, I didn't want to do that. I wasn't going to mention that. But to even put him, he's playing unbelievable. Best stretch of Tua's career. All those things can be true. To put him in the conversation with Dan Marino? I mean, how many drugs did you do for your birthday last night, Hawk? Happy birthday, by the way.
You guys didn't come to that conclusion? You guys didn't come to that conclusion?
No. I watched it, and it's funny. A conclusion that I've agreed upon. I've actually talked about you on other platforms when you said that it's not about McDaniel. This team is based around Tua's amazing accuracy and his arm if he's healthy. I agree with you on that. This is Tua's team. I'll actually go as far to say, who are you talking about? Earl Morrell and Bob Greasing. Tua's probably the second best quarterback to ever take the field in Miami. I'll go that far, Hawk. But you always go too far.
I'm just saying, one day we're not close to that day. We're not close to that day. I'm just saying, could you envision one day Dolphins fans saying the best Dolphins quarterback in history is Tua Tagovailoa?
I can't see it right now. To Solana's point, no playoff wins. We're going in here. Let's go in. He's going to have to beat Josh Allen. He's going to have to beat Lamar Jackson, and he's going to have to beat Patrick Mahomes to get out of the AFC for the remainder of his career.
He looks better than all of them.
All of those guys are going to be in front of him. Even I can't wait to the game tonight. Justin Herbert, like, that's the one we're comparing him against. There is a gauntlet of great quarterbacks right now in the NFL. Young great quarterbacks. Hawk, you know, Dan Marino is one of the best five people to ever grab a football from under center in the history of this game.
I'm only going by Solana's own parameters. You have to win when it counts. I mean, Solana's own parameters kind of negate Dan Marino's greatness. Can't win the big one.
He couldn't.
So is Dan, you know, Dan's not that good, Solana? Because he's Charles Barkley. No Super Bowls.
No, but I think what Hawk's doing there is unfair. does Dan Marino have a knock on him for not winning a Super Bowl? Absolutely. He'll never be considered the best quarterback of all time. He can't because he's never won the Super Bowl. But Dan Marino was a perennial playoff contender and got this team to a Super Bowl and consistently won playoff games while putting up...
He was a perennial playoff contender.
How many wins does he have?
No. You keep changing the goalposts.
I'm not, because Tua got to one playoffs.
You said one. Dan Marino is injured. A perennial playoff contender. Tua's gone 2 years in a row.
No.
And they're on the road to a third.
He went 1 year in a row. The season prior, the Dolphins squeaked into the playoffs because they played Joe Flacco in Miami, and the Jets
that
put up 6 points.
That was Tua's season. Stop it. That was Tua's season.
He didn't play in the playoff game. He's 0-1 in his playoff career. And I'll bite. Okay. Down the line, because we're talking not now. We're talking down the line. 10 years from now, can Tua win a Super Bowl? I think so. I think he's talented enough with the right team around him to win the Super Bowl. But I can't get from where this team is now, again, below 500, and I hate doing this today because they deserve to be celebrated, below 500, a team we saw that can't still beat top teams. We'll see Thursday another try to, yeah, they're going to win a Super Bowl at some point. Who's the general manager? Who are the pieces around Tua? This team's not close yet. They're just not.
Well, listen, listeners, I'm sorry, because I thought we were going to celebrate a really fun victory. Monday, it's a holiday week. I thought I didn't realize that Solana and Crowder were just going to throw cold water over everything that transpired yesterday with the Dolphins. My apologies. I just should have read a Dolphins mailbag or something.
You put Tua on Detroit right now. They're winning. You put Tua on Philly. Looked good last night. That damn Saquon Barkley is a special player. Goodness gracious. You put Tua, like, Tua has the piece around him. Tua is talented, by far talented enough to win a Super Bowl. I said it. I'm going to keep saying it. He's a top 10 quarterback in the league right now when he's healthy. And that's what everybody wants to put that little clause in when you talk about Tua. But he has to go out there and do it, have the team around him and show out. Yesterday was a Hall of Fame performance.
Hall of Fame.
317, four touchdowns, no intercept. Like, yesterday was a Hall of Fame performance. Now, and I hate getting on Solana's side because it's bit me in the past because he's ridiculous. If he can go 308, 317, four touchdowns against the Bills, 317, four touchdowns against the Ravens, 317, four touchdowns, you know, against the Chargers, something like, then it'd be like, okay. It was the Raiders and it was the Patriots, and they're both terrible teams. Drake May won me some money because he did his thing too, but the Patriots are not a good football team.
Well, I will tell you, Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald, he tweeted out, Tua is 130 for 170 with 11 touchdowns and only one pick and a 116.2 passer rating in his first five games back. So that includes Buffalo. That includes Arizona. Like, they had a couple losses. They could easily, in my opinion, be 5-0 since he's back. But he had good games. Adam Beasley, Pro Football Network, he posted after the game yesterday, the Dolphins are better than every team left on their schedule. That would include, ostensibly, the Packers on Thursday.
Niners? And the Niners, right? I know the Niners got whooped, but Brandon Allen was their quarterback.
They're banged up, though. They're banged up.
Just for, Purdy wasn't playing. Just for edification, Lambeau Field forecast for Dolphins Packers this Thursday, 22-degree wind chill. 22 degrees, wind chill 13 degrees, slight chance of snow. Tua told you after the game yesterday, he's ready to kill that narrative.
Curtains. Texans, Niners. Jets twice, Browns, I'm with it, but Texans and Niners, Barry Jackson.
Packers?
Packers can play too.
This is a tough
Beasley that said that. Beasley said that they're better than everyone on their schedule.
Okay, yeah, Beasley, Texans, they're getting healthier. Niners can play if Brock Purdy's back and they have all their pieces. But, Jordan Love or Tua? I think Tua's better. I'm not even being a homer. I think Tua's a better quarterback than Jordan Love.
Thursday night's going to be epic. Yeah, I think. I hope. I hope it's epic for the right reasons. We know what happens
but
in prime time.
Last time we played in the cold, we were nothing.
I know. I know. But that was before I dubbed Tua the best quarterback to ever play for the Miami Dolphins. And I know, a little premature. Just a little premature.
Far.
But we will get there. It.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, let's go right to him. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. It's, I don't know, you got to check in a couple of times a day, man, with Pro Football Talk. They got great stuff going all day. Mike Florio joins us. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Dude, a couple of times a day. I got mouths to feed. I need more than a couple of times a day. Come on, man.
Hey, by the way, how you guys must have a breakdown. What's the average person? How many times clicks will they have a day to just that need a fix?
Well, I'll peel back the curtain more than you or anyone else cares. We changed our platform a year and a half ago, and the reporting isn't as robust as it was in the past, and I didn't know that when I agreed to change platforms. So I don't have that same level of granularity that maybe I had in the past, but we've done surveys in the past. I mean, a lot of people will come to the site and click and click and come back. And also, you know, you get an insight into the demographics and whatnot. So people, there's a nucleus that are constantly checking for new stuff. And that's one of the reasons why we're constantly trying to put new stuff up.
Yeah. No, listen, stuff's been great, and you and I have been together, so I feel like I know you and Chris and the whole rest of the gang there. So, well, we might as well just get into the drama stuff besides all the great football, and what a weird week it was. We saw some crazy, crazy stuff happen, from throwing a play at the end of the game and nobody's around the receiver and he runs basically untouched. If it was two-hand touch, he would have scored, and then they missed the extra point. I mean, it was just the whole week was just nuts full of games. But let's go right into the New York disaster on both. And let's start with Daniel Jones. So everybody's got an opinion on what he should do. Go find the right team now. Or I saw Fitzpatrick said he should just sit out the rest of the year. What do you think Daniel Jones does here down the stretch with these games that are left?
I think it'd be foolish to sit out the rest of the year. The question is, when do you make your move? You can sit and monitor, and maybe a starter gets injured. Think about last year. Kirk Cousins blows out his Achilles. The Vikings had to mobilize in the final 2 days of the trading period to find anyone they could find. If Daniel Jones would have been available last year, they would have jumped on him. They wouldn't have had to give up anything to get him. They ended up trading for Josh Dobbs. So we don't know when or how or for how long the guy's going to be out if somebody does get injured, but there's always a chance the starting quarterback's going to blow an Achilles or tear an ACL or have some other season-ending injury. So there's strategic reason to wait. What we reported on Football Night in America is something I hadn't thought of, but one of the very real options for Jones is to join a practice squad of a team. Every team can have up to 16 extra guys beyond the 53-man roster. And then if you're on the practice squad, you can sign with any other team's active roster. So you join one team. You're practicing. You're around the game. The Giants are paying him $11.83 million minus whatever minimal amount he makes elsewhere. He's still making that $11.83 million. But then if somebody gets injured, he's in shape. He's ready to go. He can go sign with another team. And, yeah, he's going to have to learn a new offense, yada, yada. But being on a practice squad gives him that flexibility if and when somebody gets injured. And if I'm going to do that, I'm picking the practice squad of a team that is a true shortlist contender like the Lions. Right? A team that I know is going to make it and be there. Because, you know, I've heard teams mention, it's like, well, our team's not really a contender, and Daniel Jones isn't going to make him a contender. And, you know, if I'm going to go to another team, I want to be playing football and around football deep into January. So I think he'll do that unless there's some option out there that I'm not aware of, where he could play for a contender right away. But he's better than the backup, the number two guy, on most of the contenders. Right. And anybody who would say otherwise is just not being fair to Daniel Jones.
the offensive line and other issues with the team is why it fell apart for him. He took them to the playoffs and won a playoff game 2 years ago.
So the other guy is a guy down here. We haven't heard anything from him. By the way, even when he played, he was pretty quiet with his social life when he was away from football. Ryan Tannehill, I look at that Vegas situation, and I know it's not great. It's not ideal for quarterbacks, but you surprised Ryan Tannehill hadn't come back? We haven't heard a word from the guy.
I'm not surprised because early on, I don't know who got injured. I think it was after the Jordan Love injury that we thought was going to be a lot worse than it was. He only missed two games. The video of the hit that he took that Friday night in Brazil to start the season, it looked like it was a lot worse right than it was. I poked around some then, and I got the impression that it's a very high bar for him to come back. He wants to play. He wants to play for a contender. The money's got to be right. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the headache. And he's still possibly, you know, if you get a situation where the starting quarterback of a true contender goes down for the year and that team would say, we'll go Ryan Tannehill instead of next man up, then that could be the opening for Tannehill. But I think the longer we get into the season, the deeper it goes, the less likely it is we're going to see him. I don't think it's unlikely we'll see Jones. The question is, where and when does he initially come back, presumably on a practice squad?
We couldn't wait to find out what Aaron Rodgers was going to say on ESPN. And he says, man, I'm undecided for 2025, but wouldn't mind returning to the Jets if that's what I want. Were you surprised by his comments at all, or did you kind of expect that? I had no idea which way he was going to go.
Yeah, I didn't know what he was going to say either. And there was a lot of reporting last week about the future for him and the Jets. It started as the Jets, going into last week, before Joe Douglas was fired, I said, hey, you know, Aaron Rodgers had said, I think I want to play next year. Well, there's no guarantee the Jets are going to bring him back. Robert Saleh's been fired. The GM might not be back. Then the GM gets fired. Then there's the reporting, which we confirmed, that Woody Johnson, the owner of the team, suggested benching Aaron Rodgers after the week 4 loss to the Denver Broncos. It's like they're not going to want him. And by the end of the week, the reporting from The Athletic was he wants to play in 2025, but not for the Jets. So he was primarily responding to that by saying that his first choice is to play for the Jets. But, Joe, I have to say this, and we talked about it on PFT Live. I'm writing it right now. I went back and listened very carefully. And remember, this is the guy who played word games over the COVID vaccine. And I don't want to talk about it, but, number one, he keeps talking about it. And, number two, it's relevant to this situation because he played a deliberate word game and forced a follow-up question that was never asked. If you listen to what he said yesterday, the context makes it clear that he's talking about the Jets. But on multiple occasions, he says New York, okay? And that's significant to me because there's a theory percolating around some league circles that he and Belichick are going to get together next year. Wow. And the only three places where that would happen, my assessment, because you're not going to go to Dallas, Dak Prescott, $60 million a year contract. They're not going to bench Dak Prescott or trade him or cut him. Can't go to Jacksonville, $55 million a year for Trevor Lawrence. The three teams are the Raiders, the Saints, and the Giants. And the Giants, that's the place that Belichick is most associated with other than the Patriots. And that's the place that people think he wants to go. And the other wrinkle is this. Belichick isn't tied to anyone right now. He could be talking to Aaron Rodgers any day he wants, as long as he wants. And he can be saying to Aaron Rodgers, when I come back next year, I want you as my quarterback. And I think I have a chance to come back to the Giants. Do you want to play for me with the Giants? He can do all that with no punishment, no penalty, no rule violation, because he's not connected to anyone right now. And somebody who knows the league very well said to me a week or so ago, he's tampering his ass off right now because it's not tampering. Coaching candidates, assistants, players. He can talk to anybody, anytime. And we had just written yesterday this possibility, and we had, you know, put the dots together that would take Rodgers and Belichick to the Giants. So that's why when he started saying New York yesterday, is this guy playing games again? I want to be in New York. My first choice is New York. I love living in New Jersey. Well, if you join the Giants, you don't have to move.
Yeah, I just, the only thing I'd say back at that, is Belichick got a little tired of Tom Brady at a certain age and thought he was done, whether they wanted to keep him or not. It kind of felt like Tom was not feeling loved there. And I just wonder, it's about the same age that Aaron Rodgers is looking at. Hell, he wasn't as good as Tom Brady. So that'd be the only thing I'm not sure about. But by the way, he's got to get a quarterback, and I don't know, you know, he wants to win right now.
Here's the other side of it, though. Here's the other side of it. Belichick was wrong about Brady, and this is a way to rectify it.
Yes, he was.
Hey, a guy still may have it at 41. And I think objectively, Rodgers a better passer than Brady. Brady far more accomplished. Rodgers a better passer. And Belichick has praised Rodgers in the past. Just a couple of weeks ago on the Let's Go podcast, he was praising Rodgers. And Rodgers has praised Belichick. And look, Belichick may have to modify his approach a little bit. Rodgers had better ditch the delicate genius routine because he's going to get called out in the meeting room if he screws up. But for a short-term effort, for Belichick to win as many games as possible in his pursuit of Don Shula, and for Rodgers to kind of reverse narratives and clean up the last couple of years, which have been disastrous. And when you think about what's going on with him and the Jets, it's the ultimate middle finger by him, by Belichick, who hates the Jets, and by John Mara, the owner of the Giants, to take Rodgers and put him with Belichick and accomplish with the Giants what the Jets weren't able to do.
Mm. All right. All right. Well, listen, I got a lot of other stuff. Fence, 5-6, 2 in the defense. Been real good. They're 3-2 in their last. They played Buffalo tough and lost a tough one home to Arizona, but that last three have really put it together. You give them a chance to go up, and something they haven't done real well, play against really good teams in the cold late in the year. They haven't played well. Can Tua and the Dolphins have a chance to beat Green Bay this tomorrow night?
I think it's possible, but look, Tua said it himself about busting narratives and turning those on their head. You have to do it. That shell game, sleight of hand, Globetrotters offense that they run, that's not going to have the same oomph in 25 degrees and if it's windy and it's wintertime. And it's not going to be as cold as it was in Kansas City, but all that timing stuff. And it's great to see the media develop an appreciation for the skill set that Tua has, because it's not like you can find somebody else to come in and do what he does with the no-look pass, the flip over the shoulder. They don't have anybody else on the roster who can do it. There's nobody else out there who can do it. He does it. It's a combination of skill and reps, and it's great and it's fun. I just don't think it travels. You know, defense and running game travel when it's cold. I don't think that kind of three-card money offense where you don't know where the ball is, I don't know that that's going to work at Lambeau Field. But, hey, it's the best game of Thanksgiving by far. It's a low bar when you consider the others. But Dolphins at the Packers, with those wins by Miami, that makes for a great game. And the Packers, at 8-3, I think they're better than 8-3. Their three losses have come to teams that have a combined 5 losses.
Yeah, wow.
The Eagles, the Lions, and the Vikings.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. Hey, Baker Mayfield, this is a weird one. Just when you think, well, nothing else, and we'd heard about this before, Baker Mayfield suing his father and the firm for he and his wife for $12 million. Am I basically hearing that Baker's father stole $12 million from his kid? It's just a weird one. We've heard a lot of family issues, but my God, Mike, where's this rank for you?
Well, I don't know if it's stole. And here's what happened. It was August of 2023 that Baker Mayfield and his wife, Emily, filed a petition seeking information about the whereabouts of $12 million they had invested with companies tied to his father. Okay, so we didn't know. Nobody knew. This is the way you find out. You use the legal process to try to get to the bottom of it. There was a settlement agreement that was reached that required these companies to pay back $11.7 million. And there was a $250,000 payment due in late September. These are all based on allegations in the new lawsuit. The payment wasn't made. The companies weren't being responsive. So they're filing a lawsuit not to prove that there was any type of wrongdoing, malfeasance, misappropriation. They're just arguing, we have an agreement to settle the claim. And under the agreement, you're supposed to pay $11.7 million. That's as easy as it gets, Joe. You got one exhibit. Here it is, the contract. Here's the signatures. Done. Boom. Over. Bang the gavel. Pay their money. My bigger concern is when it's time to go get the money, they're not going to find enough money from these companies to pay. We'll see. But it's sad to think. And, you know, I know it's ultimate first world problems and most people are struggling to get by and like all these NFL athletes are making all this money. First of all, not nearly as many of them are as multimillionaires as people think. But for the ones who are, what do you do with that money? Who do you trust it to? Yeah. Where do you put it? Mm. Do you dig a hole in your backyard? Do you stuff it in your mattress? And if you can't trust family with it, who can you trust with it? It really is sad. But the broader issue here is you got guys with a ton of money, and you got a lot of hyenas out there that are going to try to get their claws in and take a little here and a little there, and they're never going to notice. They got so much, they're never going to notice.
Yeah, wow, we've seen it for sure. Hey, I leave you with this, the 33rd team. The firm founded and operated by former Jets GM, of course, also with the Miami Dolphins. Mike Tannenbaum and Rick Spielman will help in the process for Woody Johnson to find a new GM and head coach in their consulting services. What'd you think of that? I'm just curious. Everybody's been all over the board. Mike, of course, was there, was let go, that he's now going to be back helping the owner.
My immediate reaction was, what the F dash dash K question mark. I mean, it's odd to me that it was a big splash. Shefty tweets it out. Like, what about discretion? What about being low key? And I don't know what the 33rd team really does, but to the extent that it's a media company, the idea that one of the NFL teams is paying you for your services to help them hire a GM and a coach, that strips away any objectivity that they would have. And Woody Johnson is already accused of listening too much to the media when he makes his decisions. I guess you're going to be accused of doing it. You might as well go ahead and do it. Hire a media company to tell you who to hire. I guess I wouldn't say no to the check if it came my way. But what makes it even weirder, Joe, it's run by the guy he fired. I can't help but wonder whether or not this is laying the foundation for a return to the glory days of 2010, 2011, where Tannenbaum was the GM and Rex Ryan was the head coach.
Where they sit next to each other on the ESPN shows. I was thinking the same thing. That was going to be the second part of, like, Rex, who's made it pretty clear he'd love to come back. He's got, you know, unfinished business with the Jets, and I know what this thing takes. And by the way, Rex Ryan's become a lot more likable on that show, you know, getting after it, and we get good laughs and everything else. But, man, Mike, that's
a
crazy one.
He's been over the top last week about wanting to go back to the Jets, and somebody told me last week after they fired Douglas, you watch Woody Ohio Rex, because there's not going to be anybody else who would be regarded as a can't miss. Not that Rex is a can't miss, but, you know, like, Ben Johnson's not going to go there. Ben Johnson's going to go somewhere else. What's happened with Woody Johnson and the Jets the past year, I think, makes it clear that anyone who has options is going to opt to go somewhere else. Rex doesn't have those options, and he'd love to come back and coach the Jets. And I won't be surprised if at the end of the day, that's who Mike Tannenbaum recommends that Woody Johnson hires to be the next head coach.
Mm. Mike, thank you, man. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, pal.
Mike, all right, Mike Flora from Pro Football Talk joining us here this morning. A lot of crazy stuff, man. A lot of really crazy stuff. Hey, I want to tell you one more time this morning. I think it's pretty important for anybody that's been injured at work in an automobile accident or anything else, and you're looking for a law firm. There's a lot of choices, but there's only one: Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah. Yep. The partners of Cohen and Judah, injury law firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation. Yes. The same partners who handle your case from start to finish, more than 30 years of experience each, big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million dollar results, small enough just to call you back. They happen to put a lot of importance on being able to communicate with their clients. And if you're not getting that right now, and you just feel like you're another number, or your case is not real important where you are, maybe you need Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah. Now, I know what you're thinking. Like, oh, even Harvey and Gary are going to have another attorney that's going to handle mine. No, they're not. That's not true. When you walk in, you'll see Harvey Cohen, Gary Judah, and their staff, and you're going to find out that Harvey or Gary or both are going to take care of your case, and you're in good hands. Once that happens, you're in good hands, because those guys get after it. Go to CohenandJudah.com. Read the reviews. Partners who you can always reach, always get a hold of. If you're not getting that where you are right now, or you're looking around right now, make sure you put Cohen and Jude on that final list. Go to CohenandJudah.com, 866-FAIR-FEE. And remember, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work. You hire them to do.
Bum, 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 bum,
is time, ladies and gentlemen, to gather around the locker room.
Fix your camera, Leroy.
And Leroy Hoard to hand out his game balls and game bumps.
Bum.
What do you got today for us, Leroy?
Game ball is going to go to Chop Robinson.
Oh, dude.
Welcome to the party, young fella. Welcome to the party. You were a menace on the football field yesterday. Every play. That tackle's going to have nightmares.
Dude.
You worked him. And I could have very easily given it to Zach Sealer, but we got new blood in the game. Wanted to give it to the young fella because, you know, we have always talked about, even in college, he caused havoc in this backfield. We never made no plays.
This is
he made plays.
This is from Barry Jackson. Per Pro Football Focus, Dolphins rookie Chop Robinson has 10 QB pressures and 1.5 sacks yesterday. That gives him 22 QB pressures and 3.5 sacks the last 3 weeks. He has the NFL's best pass rush win rate during that time.
Whatever that means. I can watch film. I can watch the game.
Okay.
He's making an impact.
You just dismissed these stats?
Yeah.
It's pass rush win rate.
No.
Win rate, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
He also just got really mad at plus minus. He hates plus minus.
I hate plus minus.
Just next gen stats. Don't agree with Leroy.
No, but because guess what?
How do you feel about per?
Exactly.
What is per?
Player efficiency rating.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
I'm going to come over there and per you.
305 Florida man who's so lovely today. He says, 10 almost theirs.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I don't like that, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
QB pressures? Now you guys are dismissing QB pressures.
They put a new name on almost getting sacks.
You
pressure.
No. You used to get so mad because people used to say on Christian Wilkins, who he doesn't get sacks.
Yeah, but it's more about the position.
Fine. But
he doesn't play a position that gets sacks. But he had 100 tackles.
Dude, he killed Drake May yesterday. Like, there were a bunch of them that he just mauled that dude. Okay. I thought Drake May wasn't getting up after that.
Oh,
the
yeah.
one that was before the 4th-and-18 stupid touchdown that they had, when Chop hit him, I'm like, oh, he's not getting up from that one. Yeah. Like, I thought
he got smashed.
I give Drake May huge onions on that just for getting through that game, because I thought Chop like put him in F.
He's not even the best. Chop's not the best. He goes, Chubb is the king of the almost theirs.
Oh, are we getting Chubb back soon? Is he coming back this year?
I haven't even heard about him.
I saw him handing out turkeys, which he was like standing, which is, I guess, good.
I'll tell you what, though, if they get back to 500 and then Mike McDaniel hits us with, by the way, Chubb's coming back this week.
Ooh, watch out.
Uh-oh. Wow. Dolphin Kane said, Greer said a couple of weeks ago that the Dolphins place more value on pressure than sacks.
What?
They keep that same energy when it's time to pay him, Mr. Pressure, and not Mr. Sack.
Yeah.
Right? Because guess what? It's not a year ago.
Okay.
When you wouldn't pay Christian Wilkins because you said he don't get sacks.
It's true.
Make up your mind.
He's really mad that Christian Wilkins is gone.
Fair. Him and Van Ginkle, sore spots.
Oh,
I'm here. And I'm going to be fair about the situation, okay? I have to be less upset about Christian Wilkins because that's a personal thing. That's just, I really like him, right? And the guys that they have replaced him with have really done well. So that's a me problem. But I'll be damned. You lost both your pass rushers. You didn't know when you were going to get him back. And you had a guy on your roster who picked up the slack last year.
Vingegaard, another sack yesterday, by the way.
So.
Damn, he's
trying to tee.
So. What I would say is, I ain't going to never eat it with this the Van Ginkle one. I know I got to eat it with Christian Wilkins because that's a personal thing.
Yep.
Right? But Van Ginkle, when you ain't have no pass rushers.
Well, they do now.
Yeah, but that's after the fact.
Whatever, dude.
Okay.
Can I just enjoy the guy we got?
I'm not eating it. I'm telling you. Nope. So.
Chop Robinson's about to get this turkey leg.
My game bump.
Ooh. Okay.
goes to anybody.
Whoa.
Who was playing football with 3 minutes left to go in the game in the Cowboys-Redskins game. Okay. Anyone on the football field, starting with the kicker, starting with the whole Cowboys defense.
Bad snap, by the way.
The whole Cowboys defense.
Center of the long snapper you're going after?
Oh, yeah.
Followed up by the onside kick.
Bum.
That gave up another touchdown. Oof. They scored 41 points in the fourth quarter between the two teams. 41 points. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
That was the most bananas end of a game I have ever seen.
Yeah. Do you have to stick with this long snapper for the Dolphins? Win streak. You don't mess with a win streak.
You can't mess up a win streak.
Can't mess with
also,
a win streak.
Also, quiet on Twitter.
Can I just say this?
What?
You ever go into your sock drawer
and
you see two socks and they don't match? Do you go try to find a match? No. You just grab another pair.
You can't just keep finding long snappers.
Long! Dude.
I actually just put that pair
long
on.
Long snapper is like opening up your drawer underwear and seeing that you have
I don't think that's true, because what happens, you keep playing this game. We found a long snapper that seems to be snapping just fine. I don't know what's going on with Blake Ferguson.
All
why
long snappers can snap just fine.
I don't know. I don't know.
Blake.
Oh, why is this long? Hold on.
You want to give a long snapper $100 million contract?
Their long snapper
they're long snappers.
Hold on. Their long snapper has been eligible to come back for like 3 weeks. He's still not snapping because I don't know what's going on. But now it's the last week. They got to decide, do they keep this long snapper that they have? Because they can't keep elevating him off the practice squad. And I'd say a win streak long snapper is a long snapper I want to keep.
And I would say a long snapper is a long snapper. You are talking about in a 53-man roster, that is the bottom of the barrel.
All right, listen.
I'm telling you.
I've been telling you I want a super snapper for all these years. You said that was a stupid idea.
Huh. Oh, my goodness.
Do you think it's because...
Yep.
But our long snapper came from the Association of Long Snappers.
That is true. Fastest snap in all of Texas.
Woo!
Tucker Addington.
Fastest snap in the South.
First of all...
What?
Nothing on this earth...
Tucker?
...says I am an intangible. Like, what is it? Tucker?
Tucker Addington.
Woo! Tucker Addington. And... this might be a side job, because in his real job, he's just rich. Addington,
correct.
You know, anybody know a broke Addington?
Nope. Our second multimillionaire that just playing football for the love.
Play with Gator Cove.
Just doing it for the love of the game.
Wow, Tucker Addington. Go follow him on social media, people. He's only got 1,000 Instagram followers.
And that's why he still has the job. You know, he's not focused on, you know, picking beefs with our safety. Remember when Blake Ferguson
did that happen?
You know, he's not out here talking about Trump or Biden on his social media like Blake Ferguson tends to do. It just kind of seems like he's snapping the football.
I don't really care what Blake Ferguson is tweeting about. I just want to know, like, where is he? It's just a strange thing to see a long snapper. I know that he had some personal thing, but he's been back with the team.
Whenever he said Tucker Addington sees himself as a young John Denny.
Dude. Well, you would need John Denny to say that he sees Tucker Addington as a young him.
I've never met a person that came into the league and said, I want to be a long snapper. It's usually a guy who played offensive line that ends up being the long snapper.
But, dude, I'm telling you, and I respect what you have to say, right? Because you're a football knowledge man. Times, they have changed. And this guy
Let me put it in your terms, right? You know how in the corner they have a cup man, you have a coach, right? You have the guy with the bucket and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The long snapper would be somebody you bring on the team as the mouthpiece guy. His job for all of this is to just take the mouthpiece in and out. At some point, when they're splitting up the money, they go, we can have somebody we already got on staff do that.
Mm.
That's what long snapping is.
Well, I've been saying to have a center do it, and you said that was a bad idea.
You did say that. It's true.
No, because...
I think you called him, quote...
I don't want to have this argument again, because dumb. I'm going to be...
Stop bringing it up.
No, because you keep saying it's bottom of the barrel, and then you keep saying, but you can't just say anybody could do it.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
Anybody can do it, but guys have had some.
But here's the other thing that's changed with it. It's like how all Australians are punters now, okay, no matter what school. I think even Wake Forest had an Australian punter. I'm like, what?
They all do that drop the point of the ball.
Australia has basically taken all Americans out of punting. So you can't be an American kid and punt anymore, right? They're taking our jobs.
Except for the black kid from Pittsburgh.
Exactly. But but long snapping is now a specialized thing. And Tucker Addington came from the Long Snapping Association of Texas. Fastest snap in all of Texas history.
Let me get this straight.
Fastest snap.
Wait. South. Hold on. Let's be clear. Of all the professions on a football team, the only one that has an organization is the long snapper.
You need to unionize as long snappers.
They're already in a union. You're in the players' union.
I feel like you guys don't treat them like other players.
We don't know.
You know?
Dude, I have events or stuff like that. I don't know what position the guy played.
Addington went.
I just know he got years in.
Here's this is the opening line of his professional career. Addington went unselected in the 2020 NFL draft and spent the following two seasons out of professional football working at the Texas long snapping camp.
Yes. Where he became the fastest snap in the South.
In 2022, he was selected in the sixth round of the 2022 USFL supplemental draft by the Houston Gamblers. He appeared in all 10 of their games as the Gamblers compiled a 3-7 record and placed fourth in the division.
You know who's not a gamble?
Hmm?
Tucker Addison. That's right. At center.
You know what we got to do? Honestly, this is really what it's got to come down to. Him and Blake Ferguson got to have a snap-off.
Ooh!
Snap-off, dude. That's just how it's got to go. If you're on a three-game win streak and Blake Ferguson wants his job back, you got to snap it off.
Yep, and it's got to happen at
So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do, okay?
Yep. Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to take the – who's the least important Dolphin right now?
You!
Durham Smythe?
No! Tucker Addison.
Is there another tight end? Because there's four tight ends, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take Durham Smythe. Yeah. All right.
Yep.
We're gonna put a beer bottle on his head. All right.
Oh. Okay.
And whoever can snap the beer bottle off clean,
Julian Hill.
It'll just fall. can't trust him for a project. All right. Here's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
We're gonna take Wes Welker.
Okay. All right.
Wes, you're going to go out there with that giant helmet of yours. Okay. We're going to put a beer bottle on your head.
Perfect.
And whoever can keep snapping the beer bottle off by distance, three snaps, that person gets the job.
That's pretty good.
You don't want that.
Why not?
What?
You don't want, like, they snap and they work on snapping at certain distances.
Yeah.
You don't want them snapping it.
I got to see who's better.
And look. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Who made you and who gave you the authorization and the tools equipped to being able to determine who is the best football player at any position?
I'm the only person who cares about this.
That I would agree with. Everybody else, listen.
Don't even think. Who is there? Who's their special?
You ever
open
up a soda and it was flat?
It's not rinsy.
You just throw it away and go get another one. That's long snapper.
I gotta feel like you're running out of snappers.
That's long snapper.
Oh, Crossman.
It's like. Yeah, this is Cliff at Long Snappers Association.
We need another one. Oh, that one's bad.
I don't know if I got another one. Tucker, you can't just keep Tucker around. We ran out of days.
Wait, so.
Can't wait for the snap off.
I hate him playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to get inducted into the Long Snapper Hall of Fame?
Funny you should ask, Leroy.
Is he?
Addington is alumnus of the Texas Long Snapping Organization. And while attending, he posted the fastest snapping speed of any player there, a 0.65 speed. He was later inducted into their Hall of Honor.
Fastest snap in the South. This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
A real mother tucker.
Oh,
so...
Scored.
So let me get this straight. He got inducted into a Hall of Honors or whatever without playing 16 NFL games.
Well, it was just about his Texas career. I'd imagine it was a high school thing.
Mm. Oh, really?
Or college. I don't know. Where did he play college? That's a good question. Glad you asked.
The most information you will ever find out about our long snapper right here.
Sam Houston State.
Oh, of course.
I don't trust no school named after a dude.
Bearcats.
Yeah, where'd you get your degree?
What in the Sam Houston are you talking about?
This is a holiday week.
Take a break. Get back into the Dolphins. Real Dolphin stuff that's not long snapping after this.
All right, 3 o'clock hour. We're starting a little bit late because we went long with Gino Toretta, but that is par for the course for us. Mike Cugno is going to join us this hour from the Dolphins facility. Mike McDaniel is going to be speaking at 3:45, from what I understand. So let's get a quick look at the headlines with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
So the Dolphins did make a roster move today. They cut safety Marcus May. And they have activated rookie safety Patrick McMorris off the injured reserve list. So they waived Marcus May and they've activated Patrick McMorris.
All right.
They need better safety play. I told y'all Poyer's not doing it, and I'm a fan of Marcus May. He was hell when he was young, but he's old too. We had an octogenarian secondary for a little while. Yeah,
that is true.
I ain't like it.
Yeah, apparently they're going to want to try to keep Marcus May on the practice squad if he ends up clearing waivers, but that is today's move. Obviously, Dolphins, Thursday, Thanksgiving night, in Green Bay, they will play the Packers.
I hate it. I really do. Short week. Cold. I didn't even know Tua was 0-7 under 40 degrees, whatever it was you said. Like, I hate this game. I really do.
It's a tough one, but it also can break a ton of narratives if they do win.
Yeah.
They go on the road, beat a good team. In cold weather, in prime time, like, this will bust a lot of narratives.
Yes, and one of them young quarterbacks coming up behind Tua. Everybody loves Jordan Love. Tua's questioned all the time. I'm with you, but I hate this game. I really do. As a Dolphin fan, I hate this game.
I mean, Jordan Love got paid also.
Yep.
So, like, both these guys got paid.
Very similar, like, situations. But Jordan Love does get, I think, more national respect and love. Tua gets questioned way more than Jordan Love, I think.
Brian Flores made Tua a little baby, went to Minnesota, and has one of the best defenses in the league, and nothing happens. Brian Flores is respected. He made Tua this little delicate flower.
Again, I hate to do this because Tua deserves a ton of praise right now.
You hate Tua. You hate Tua.
I don't. I do not hate Tua. I just would like to point out that last year, despite a small sample size, the Packers quarterback led them to a victory in a playoff game on the road.
Understood. That's the argument ender. I get it. Any conversation around Tua always comes back to that. I get it. I'm not certain that it's unfair to do it that way.
How about I tell you this? Tua's numbers, they overshadow Jordan Love's regular season numbers, hands down. Tua's a top in every category. Through 17 games, Tua makes Jordan a quarterback that plays the South Plantation. But since Jordan Love won a playoff game, now you like Jordan Love over Tua. That's the argument, Solana, that I just – I don't understand that side of it.
It's not that simple, though, because it's not just the playoff win. Look at this year. His team is 8-3, and he missed some games early on in the season, but
shows you he's not as valuable as Tua.
That's fine. I'm willing to concede.
Our backup came in. We looked like a single A team. His backup came in. They kept winning.
I'm not telling you Jordan Love's a better quarterback than Tua. I don't know if that's true or not. Right now, to me, Tua's been the better quarterback. But just going to your argument, Hawk, the reason why I don't think it's unfair that Jordan Love gets praise and Tua is still questioned, I think it has to do with the fact that in 1 year, Jordan Love, on the road, beat a Cowboys team in the playoffs and then almost won another playoff game, and Tua missed the Dolphins' first opportunity in the playoffs because he was injured with his second concussion, and then last year they got blown out in Kansas City. That's why, and I don't think that's unfair.
Jordan Love or Tua?
That's not the conversation, though.
That is the conversation. Jordan Love is a more successful winning quarterback than Tua. But Tua's numbers, Tua's efficiency, Tua's yards per play, yards per every damn whatever PERs you want to throw out there, Tua's better. But then the team, the organization goes further. So Jordan Love's better quarterback than Tua. Like, that's really what it is. Like, are we managing this right? Or is Tua not as good as Jordan Love? Is Tua not as good as these young quarterbacks?
You think one day we might say that Jordan Love is the greatest quarterback in Packers history?
Why you always talk when I'm rolling and you want to come that crazy?
Who would you rather have though for the next 10 years as your starting quarterback, Jordan Love or Tua Tagovailoa?
Hawk.
I'm a Tua guy. I do like Jordan Love though. He's really good. That's a tough question.
That's a tough one.
Jordan Love's been more durable, but he's still been dinged up with injuries. He's missed time as well. So.
Smaller sample size, though. Tua's been in the league 5 years. I mean, Tua's been injured every year except for one. Yeah. But Jordan Love has literally played one season for the Packers.
It's funny because the puppy from Washington, I would take over Tua. The guy, was it Houston? What's his name?
C.J. Stroud.
Stroud. Jaden Daniels, like, that's a good argument. I don't think I take Jordan Love over Tua. I don't think I've seen enough out of Jordan Love.
You wouldn't take Jaden Daniels over Tua yet.
I think he's saying he would.
I'm saying you wouldn't. That's terrible. That's ridiculous.
Looks pretty good this year, Hawk, doesn't he?
Understood, but you had the conversation about RG3 looking good.
I did.
In the first year. I wouldn't go off 10 games?
Yeah. And they've lost 3 straight. I don't think they're losing because of him, but CJ Stroud also doesn't he right now is like a sophomore
Nowhere
slump.
Near as good as he looked last season.
You saw they lost to the Titans this week and he threw a bad interception as well. Like, he doesn't look as he was advertised to look this year.